Good morning, everyone. So glad to see all of our, especially our visitors here this morning. If you're visiting from another sister congregation, we greatly appreciate your presence. If you are not a member of the body of Christ, we're very glad that you're here, and we hope that you will be enlightened by the things that have been said and done thus far. I'm here to introduce my brother and friend, and also consider him a physical brother, as I've been explaining for the last couple of days. Brother Michael B. Thornton is from Newport News, is from Hampton, Virginia, rather. That's where he grew up. He attends the Newport News Church of Christ. That's where he became a Christian in 1984. He's been a Christian for 38 years, and he is currently married to the beautiful Veronica, we call her Ronnie Thornton, for 36 years. And also wanted to share the way that we met. We moved to Virginia when we were in the Air Force, and my wife and Sister Ronnie got acquainted and met each other at the Newport News congregation, and they're like that. They're friends for life. They're joined at the hip there for life. So me and also my brother Michael as well. But again, getting back to Brother Michael, Brother Michael is a homegrown preacher, also preacher and teacher. He has prepared himself. Once he became a Christian, he really dedicated himself to study and growth, and he has developed a very fine ability to teach and preach the gospel in a very simplistic manner to the hearers. So those that hear him will definitely leave with an understanding, and I hope you leave with an understanding today. Also, Brother Michael has preached at various locations during his time. He's preached at lectureships, been on a lectureship card at various places, such as the downtown congregation in Virginia, the Smithfield congregation in Smithfield, Virginia, the Portsmouth congregation, Edenton, North Carolina, Keller, Virginia, Seattle, Washington, New Orleans, Louisiana, and Savannah, Georgia. And something to keep in mind, he's also done youth devotionals, and this is his first gospel meeting where he's handled or brought all the lessons by himself. So I'm saying he's flying solo on this one. So that's a major milestone for him. The last couple of things that I want to mention, Brother Michael has attended and been trained in a preacher training class. He attended the Tidewater preaching training class there in the Hampton Roads area, which was a class that was conducted by Brothers of the Church. Now, something that he has done, last thing, and then I'll give him the floor, is that he has developed his own curriculum for new converts called Rooted and Grounded. And I'm trying to get my brother to publish it because it's of great value. It's something that we all could benefit from. But without no further ado, I introduce to you Brother Michael B. Thornton.
Good morning. It's like the meeting is slowly winding down to an end, and I'm getting a little sad about that. Not that I don't mind not having to come up here and preach, but just leaving you all, you know. It's been a while. We hadn't been here since 2019, I think. It was 2019, 2018, so it's a long stretch. So hopefully we'll get to come back again, just visiting, you know, a little earlier than that, a little sooner than that. I did promise you something, didn't I? I told you we were going to do something today. I think some people were holding me to it, too. As soon as I walked through the door, are we going to? Yes, we are. So without further ado, let me just say a few words before we get started. Our gospel series here, The Gospel Dares You. And so we're at the point now where the gospel dares you to submit to it. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So today, there seems to be so much confusion about how one should be saved. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't it very simple to you, the plan of salvation? You know, but some people say, or some people make it out to be something very complicated, but it's really not that complicated. Now, are there not clear examples in the Bible of people being saved? Especially as we go through the book of Acts, you know, that's where the examples are. Are not the examples clear about how people are being saved? Can I get a yes? No? Yes? I see heads nodding. Yes, yes. Even the child there says yes. So if a child can understand it, you know, we adults ought to be able to. But, you know, there's such an account in Acts chapter 8, and that's what we're going to look at today, a very simple account of one being saved, and that is the account of the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's go back and look at that account, and we're going to see just how easy the plan of salvation is, even though there's some today that are trying to make it easier than this by removing some things out of the plan. But the plan of salvation is very simple. You know, you ever heard of the saying, that's elementary? What does that mean? It's very simple, right? Very simple. A piece of pie means it's very simple. What about a piece of cake? Means it's very simple. But today, we're not just going to take a piece of cake. See, that's what that phrase actually means. It's talking about just a slice of cake. Brethren, we're going to do a whole cake today, okay? We're going to do a whole cake so you can see just how simple the plan of salvation is. We're going to lay it right alongside of making a cake. So let's read this account. In verse 26, beginning in Acts chapter 8, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem from Gaza, which is desert, or a deserted place. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither, or he ran there, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself, of some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right, so that's what we had, brethren. Did that seem very hard to follow? No, it doesn't. You know what? It's a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. So this morning, we're going to start out by what we need to have to bake a cake. First of all, you need a recipe book, don't you? Okay? Now, if you don't have it in your head, I know most of you ladies have the recipes already in your head. But if it were me, I would need a recipe book. You know? I would need a recipe book. Same here. With this eunuch, what was he doing? He was reading the recipe book. He was going through the scriptures. And he was at the place of Isaiah. So I have a cookbook here. And in the cookbook, you have to search for a certain in a certain area for the certain recipe that you're looking for. I wouldn't go to the meat section to get a recipe to make a cake. Wouldn't be a very good cake, would it? No. I wouldn't go to the meat section to get a recipe for a cake. Same thing with the eunuch here. The eunuch was reading in the Old Testament. Okay, that's all they had. They had the Old Testament. He was reading Isaiah. So he knew God, but he didn't know Christ. He didn't know Christ. And so it took Philip to come to him and direct his attention now to the right place in God's recipe book. And so you get down to verse 28. You find that the eunuch was reading Isaiah. He knew God, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. And so he said, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? And that's how you know that he didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. So, brethren, what I want to ask you right now, we have a recipe book, but is this a cake? No, it isn't. Same thing here that we have with the eunuch. You know, he had the scriptures, but did that make him a Christian? No, it did not. Many people think that because they have a Bible sitting on their coffee table, that makes them a Christian. You hear it all the time. Oh, I'm a Christian. I have a Bible. But no, having a Bible does not make you a Christian. So let's move on. Next thing you're going to need to bake a cake, you're going to need a mixing bowl, aren't you? Going to need a mixing bowl. You know, a lot of times the items for the cake might come in a paper bag. Can you mix things in a paper bag? No. You need something that's going to hold the ingredients. So that's what this is, a mixing bowl that's capable of holding the ingredients. So I can't mix it in a paper bag. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Same thing with becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian. In verse 30, you know, he had to hear the gospel. He had to hear the gospel. Understandeth thou what thou readest? That means you have to have the capability of understanding what you're reading. Isn't that right? If I'm going to preach the gospel to you, you have to have the capability of understanding. You have to have a place to hold the information. Brethren, that's called a sound mind. You have to have a sound mind, a mind that's capable of hearing and understanding. It's like it says in Ephesians 5:17, that you have to understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, in John chapter 6, verses 45 through 46, we learn that every man that heareth and learn of the Father, hears and learn of the Father, cometh unto me. That's what Jesus said. You hear and learn of the Father. Look, he was learning of the Father already by being in the Old Testament and learning. But now he's coming to Jesus. And that's what Philip was there for. So to have a sound mind, a mind that's capable of understanding. Look, babies, young children, they don't have the capability to fully understand the gospel, do they? Now, they can understand the plan of salvation, but we're talking about the true meaning of becoming a Christian and living your life and counting the cost. All of that, child can't understand. Oh, and neither can someone who has a mental deficiency. You know, so God has those, doesn't he? They're not accountable to God right now. One who has a mental deficiency may never be accountable because they may not come out of that state. But a young child, as they grow and mature, they're going to get to the point where they become accountable to God because now they can understand what it means to live your life in accordance with God's word and God's will. But, brethren, to make a cake, you need something to hold the ingredients. But is this a cake? No. Oh, see that? Piece of cake. So that I have a sound mind. Am I a Christian yet because I'm able to hear? No, I'm not a Christian yet. So let's go to the next ingredient. We have what we call here flour. Make sure I can open this without getting it all over the place. Oh, flour, you know, unquestionably, flour is the main ingredient, right? It's the foundation of the cake, isn't it? You know, it depends on what recipe you have. So without the flour, you know, you're not going to have a cake. You're just not going to have a cake. So we're going to pour the flour in this mixing bowl here. But it would be impossible to make this type of cake that we're going to make without flour. No, you can't. It starts with the flour. So that shows you there's an order. There's an order to making a cake. You must start. You must have a bowl, a mixing bowl first, but then you have the main ingredient, the flour. Brethren, that's faith. When becoming a Christian, the foundation of becoming a Christian, understanding the gospel, is faith. It's faith. It's the main ingredient of the gospel plan of salvation. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, it says it's impossible to please God without it. You cannot please God without faith, because if you come to him, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, brethren, it's impossible, just like it would be impossible to make this cake. So after hearing, belief is the first response. Get the mixing bowl, flour is your first ingredient. So you must hear that gospel and believe. And brethren, you've heard the gospel and believe. I've got the bowl and I've got my flour, but is it a cake? No, it isn't. I heard it again. It is. Oh, I love hearing those little kids. So, because I believe, does that make me a Christian? No, it does not. No, it does not. It does not make me a Christian. If I stop here with my faith, I'm just like this flower. I blow on it, it's just blowing in the wind, isn't it? If I stop here, I'm not a Christian, but I'm making my way to it. James says that that kind of faith is a dead faith. As a matter of fact, you're in no better position right now than the demons. Did you know that? Because it says the devils believe also and tremble. So if you stop here, you're no better than the demons. You're no better than the demons. No, we must keep going. So the next thing we have to have with our cake, we have to have some milk. Oh, wow. Maybe the kids should come up here and preach this lesson, huh? Yeah, we have to have some milk, don't we? Okay, so got some milk in there, so we mix it all up. And what happens to the flour when we start to mix it with the milk? Changes, doesn't it? Changes. A change happens. It goes from a powdery form into some of a, you know, liquid form or a mix. I'm going to put a little bit more in here so I can demonstrate this to you. Still, you know what I'm getting at. You can't put this in the oven when it's just flour. So you got to mix it with something. Now, look at that. It's all mixed up. Right, so we have our flour. It made a change. Same thing with the Ethiopian eunuch. He had to make a change. That's called repentance. Repentance. When he came to a certain water, he said, "What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" That shows that he had repented. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to obey God in accordance with the New Testament now, not the Old Testament. That's repentance, brethren. He made a change, just like in this ingredients with the flour. And brethren, we must repent. In Acts 17 and verse 30, God requires all men everywhere to repent. It's a requirement. Luke 13 and verse 3 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So repentance is part of the ingredients to becoming a Christian, to being saved. You know, Paul was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, he says to turn them from the power of darkness to light. That's repentance, okay? So you're just turning them to light from the power of Satan. Satan is darkness. God is light. Jesus is light. That's a change. That's repentance. And that's why he was sent there to preach, or sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Your faith must produce a change. You can't stop at faith. It has to produce a change. A change in your life through obeying the gospel. So, brethren, Bible says if you don't turn, you're going to burn. If you don't turn, you're going to burn. That's 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. When Jesus says he will come here with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who obey not the gospel. So the eunuch's repentance is seeing in what he said, and he wanted to obey now the New Testament, the right part of the recipe book. You know, he wanted to get out the meat section, go to that dessert section, you know, just like we would do if we're looking for the ingredients for the cake. But let me ask you something. I've got the flour. I've got everything mixed up. Is it a cake yet? No. All right, Noah. It's not a cake. I've heard the gospel. I believe it. I'm even willing to repent. I want to make a change. But is that, am I a Christian yet? No, I'm not. You know, if I stop right there, I'll be just like this, just all mixed up. And that's what a lot of people are today. They're just all mixed up. There are a lot of people out there doing a lot of good things in the name of Christ. But guess what? They haven't obeyed the gospel. So it's all going to be for nothing. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then he will talk about what they would say. Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done this? And done many wonderful works. But what is the Lord going to say to them? Very first thing it says, I never knew you. In other words, I never approved of you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You may think you're doing really good works, and you can think of a lot of good people out there, you know, Mother Teresa and others, that people look at as being great folks, doing great things for people, being very compassionate. But the problem is, it's all for nothing because they haven't obeyed the gospel. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. That's like someone running a marathon. All, what is it, 26 miles? But they never entered the race. They ran all that 26 miles. They were happy. They crossed the finish line. Even crossed it first. But they look at the cup. Hey, you're not on the roster. Same thing's going to happen in heaven when Jesus opened up the book of life and your name's not in there. But you've done all these things because you followed the wrong recipe. That's going to be tragic for a lot of folks. And that's why we want to preach the gospel to you. And so, again, about repentance, stop at repentance, you're not a Christian yet. But then the confections. This was my favorite part of my mother making a cake. When she puts in the sugar, you know, and then they mix in vanilla and then all this other stuff that just sweetens up the mix. Because you know what I was waiting for? I was waiting for the spoon. I was waiting for the spoon. I wanted to lick that spoon. And then once she got rid of the ingredients out of the bowl, boy, I went and scraped that bowl up. And she could have just gave me the whole mix and stopped there. She didn't have to make the cake. Of course, I would have got sick. But man, that mix was so good. It made the that's how you sweeten up the mix. Brother, the confection and the recipe for becoming the Christian is the confession. It's a confession. Isn't that what the Ethiopian eunuch did? He said, what hindereth me from being baptized? And he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The great confession, brethren. The great confession. And he confessed the name of Christ. And there's no sweeter name that can roll off the tongue of man than the name of Christ. It's the sweetest name ever. And it's the sweetest part of the ingredients of becoming a Christian. And we must confess. Romans 10 and verse 9. You must confess with your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. So we must confess, you know. So, sadly today, this is where many people, not a lot of people, are deceived into believing that when you stop here, you're saved. So another thing about this. Here is what people are told to do today. The plan of salvation is simple enough, but they're told to stop here. Listen to what they're told to do. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you are the Son of God, that you have died, paying the price for my sins and rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Friend, if you have said these things, you are saved. That's the great deception. That's not sweetness, brethren. That's poison. A lot of people are being fed poison. A lot of people's ingredients for making the cake are being laced with poison because this is what they're told to do to become a Christian. I know because I was one of them. And I went out and read tracts when I was doing my search. Yeah, those tracts would have this in it, and I thought I was good to go. But something still seemed wrong. And so I kept searching. And I pushed Christians away, my dad being the main one. But then one day I finally listened to him. And he opened up the Bible. Like we talked about this morning, we searched the scriptures. And when he showed me Acts and showed me those people in there being converted, he said, well, what do you say now? And I said, there's nothing I can say. Right here. And that's when I obeyed the gospel. Me and my wife obeyed at the same time, baptized by my father. And so, brethren, you can't stop here. You know, sweet as this is, and as much as I wanted it, is it a cake? No, it ain't. It's not a cake yet. So, brethren, at confession, you're not a Christian yet. No, you can't stop there, so let's continue. Now, there's a transition that must happen here. You know, I can't bake this and this, can I? So I've got to have some bakeware, right? I'll tell you what this is representative of, brethren, because I can't put this in. Why can't I bake the cake in this? Can't take the heat, can it? It can't take the heat. Look, this can take the heat. What did he say to the eunuch when he asked, what doeth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest in thy heart. All that heart. Brethren, the heart is the baking pan. You must believe in your heart or you won't be able to take the heat. You won't be able to take the heat. When it's time for you to obey and you feel the heat of your parents saying, hey, that's not our church. You make sure it's your heart that's being given to God, not being given to your parents. Because people do run into that with their families. It's probably some people in here whose families are part of another church or another religion. And when you obeyed the gospel, they were upset with you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, brethren, you can't do that. You can't let your parents or anybody else, your friends, don't worry about what they say and what they think. You worry about what God thinks. Yeah. That's from the heart. And that's what Philip was trying to get at with this eunuch. You know, just like the chief rulers in John chapter 12. Oh, they believed Jesus, but they would not confess him. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid they'll be put out of the synagogue. They're afraid of men. They love the praises of men, it said, more than the praises of God. Then again, that means it's not from the heart, which is here, really. But this is the seat of all your emotions. And so, brethren, it's got to be from your heart. You can't put your faith in someone else's heart. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't obey for mom. You can't obey for daddy or friends. And you can't obey for that cutie that you want to marry. You know what I'm talking about. People bring their boyfriends or girlfriends here to help them to learn the gospel. And that boyfriend or girlfriend is just trying to impress them, and so they obey or seemingly obey the gospel, but they're just doing it to win them, not to win Christ. No, that's not from the heart. It's not the baking pan. Your faith is in here, and it won't take the heat. It will not take the heat. And so it has to be your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10, again, it has to be from the heart. And that is why the Church of Christ, brethren, is not a cult. Should I say that again? That is why the Church of Christ is not a cult. Cults apply massive pressure on people, scare tactics to join them. And then also you got these slick money-making churches that use gimmicks, entertainment, watered-down gospel, or watered-down feel-good gospel, as you could call it, or the prosperity gospel. But no, that's not in Jesus' recipe. Jesus wants your heart, okay? Your heart. And that's why it's up to you. We leave it up to you. We preach the gospel to you, and then we leave it up to you. There's no pressure here. There's no pressure. We are not a cult, brothers and sisters, as a lot of people will try to accuse us of being, because we're so different. We're not different. We're the same as the church you read about in the Bible. They're the ones that's different. But we're the same. And so, brothers and sisters, yeah, I pour my mix into the baking pan. But is it a cake? No, it's not a cake yet. Not a cake yet. And so, yeah, I believe in all my heart. But am I a Christian yet? No, I'm not. And so then we come to one of the major parts of baking a cake. It has to go into the oven, doesn't it? It has to go into the oven. And so what is the element that's causing the cake to make a change, to be converted, that mix to be converted? What is it? Heat. Heat. And it's immersed in heat, isn't it? It's immersed. That means it is submerged. It's surrounded. It's baptized in heat. Brethren, that's where we're getting to. To become a Christian, what did the eunuch finally find out? All it says there is that he preached unto him Jesus. But all of a sudden, they come to a certain water, and he said, what doeth hinder me to be baptized? Where did he get that from? Because when you preach Jesus, you got to preach baptism. And then it says that they went down into the water. So the element was water, whereas we had heat with the cake. And then the process was immersion, just like the cake. Now, let me point something out to you here. Here is a eunuch that has traveled 1,000 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Okay? And he's on horse and buggy. Now, if I were to travel 1,000 miles in my car, do you know what I would have with me? I'd have water, wouldn't I? Might even have some snacks. Yep. You travel with snacks and water and something to drink? This man's going 1,000 miles in a horse and buggy or a chariot. We'll take him in at least 10 days. Don't you think he would be supplied with food and drink? He's going to have to make stops along the way. Don't you think he would have an ample supply of water? Well, if baptism was not immersion and it was sprinkling or pouring, don't you think they would have got some of his water and sprinkled it on him or poured it on him? Why did he wait until they came into a certain water? Because it had to be enough to baptize him. That's why. Baptism is the process. It is where you are converted. Romans 6 and verse 6. So that knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth that we should not serve sin. So you are converted. You're going from serving the world to serving God, to serving righteousness. John 3 and verse 5 is where we're born again. Except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it is where baptism also now saves us, it says there. And it gave the like figure. The like figure there was comparing it to the Noahic flood. The world was washed clean of sin by the flood. We're washed clean of sin through baptism. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul would be told there, Saul at this time, to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is the plan that Jesus specified and that he commanded his disciples to teach in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's just so simple that a child, and we've seen it, a child can understand it. In Acts 2 and verse 41, it says, those that gladly received his word, when Peter and those preached the gospel to them, it says that they were baptized. Another example, the Samaritans. In Acts 8 and verse 12, they received or they believed the word and were baptized. Saul of Tarsus believed and was baptized. Cornelius believed and was baptized. Lydia believed and was baptized. The jailer believed and was baptized. The Corinthians believed and were baptized. The disciples at Ephesus believed and were baptized. Can't get around it. You can't get around it. And so, brethren, the cake is in the oven, and when it comes forth out of the oven, it's converted. The mix is converted to a cake, isn't it? No longer a mix. Didn't I tell you we were going to bake a cake today? See, y'all thought I was playing with you. But it's a cake now. Is this a cake, kids? It's, oh, yeah, look at that. The kids even understand that. It is a cake. Now we're a cake. We come out of being baptized in heat, we're a cake. Now, when you come up out of the water, are you a Christian now? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. Your sin's been washed away. Yes. And then from there, brethren, from here, from this point, now you can be served. This cake can be served. Yeah, we'll put it back there for the fellowship. But as a Christian, now you can go forth and serve God. You don't have to serve him in vain. Do all these good works and it be in vain. Now you're his. Now your works count. Now everything you do counts. Okay? Now you're a Christian. And that's what we want to get to. Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to be faithful serving God for the rest of your life, because now you're a Christian and now your good works will count for something. You won't do it in vain. Brethren and sisters, I hope this made it plain and simple for you. And for those of you who are not Christians, I can't put it any plainer than this. You know what to do now. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. In other words, you change. You want to go. You want to obey the gospel and want to live your life for Christ. You confess your belief before men with your mouth so that we'll know that you believe. And that way, we can now baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll be raised up a Christian, and now you can walk in newness of life. As we said last night, you're now free from sin and born again when you come up out of that water. If you need to do so, come on and be baptized and obey the gospel while we stand and sing.